It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Our reporter, Glennis Board, has been working on a series of videos for middle school students that showcases what they're learning is relevant.
With each of these videos, we include details about how McGinnis, our pipe fitter apprentice, for example, is using things he started to learn in the middle school on the job. So practical applications of what kids are learning in school.
We'll hear more about this project coming up on this West Virginia morning. In television advertising in their third congressional district race, Democratic incumbent Nick Rahal and Republican challenger Evan Jenkins each accuses the other of supporting cuts to black lung benefits for coal miners afflicted with the disease that results from long-term exposure to coal dust. What's the story behind these accusations? For that, we turn to Lori Robertson, managing editor of the website factcheck.org. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit consumer advocate for voters that aims to reduce the level of deception and confusion in U.S. politics. Robertson joined us on our political talk show Viewpoint on Friday. So Rahal launched the first strike at this Evans Jenkins on this issue, accusing Jenkins of supporting cuts to black lung benefits. What's the backstory here?
Sure. Well, I mean, the ad went even further than that, saying that he had pledged to take away black lung benefits from coal miners. So not just a cut, but what the ad is actually referring to is repealing the Affordable Care Act. You know, Jenkins hasn't said he wants to take away black lung benefits or repeal them. He has said he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that law did include two amendments. They're referred to as Byrd amendments after former Senator Robert Byrd that made eligibility to get black lung benefits easier. There's a couple different details in those amendments. In one, the mining company would have to prove that coal dust was not a significant factor in the disease. That shifted the burden of proof from the miner to the company. And in the other, it ends the practice of requiring a widow to have to reapply for survivor benefits after her husband dies. But Jenkins has said that he doesn't want any cuts in black lung benefits. He's advocated a repeal of the Affordable Care Act and replacing it with some legislation which could, in fact, address these provisions of the original law.
Mm-hmm. So this all stems from the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare, and it makes the assumption that if Jenkins wants to repeal Obamacare, then he'll want to repeal these benefits, these amendments.
Yes, definitely. And certainly there's a debate or discussion to be had about what impact repealing the law would have on these provisions that were added for black lung benefits. But, you know, Rahal's ad doesn't do that. There were previous ads from the House Majority PAC. They don't actually mention the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare by name. They just say that Jenkins wants to repeal black lung benefits.
Mm-hmm. True or not true? I mean, can you get, is this true, false, or misleading?
Oh, definitely false.
Definitely false. Okay.
He has not said he wants to vow to repeal black lung benefits at all.
So now Evan Jenkins has come out swinging. Here's a news release that his campaign sent on September 24th. Jenkins for Congress began airing a new television spot today, backed by a six-figure broadcast and cable buy in the Beckley, Bluefield, and Charleston and Huntington media markets. Called Helmet highlights just how phony and sleazy, as the Washington Post put it this morning, Nick Rahal's ads have been. In addition to his vote to cut black lung benefit eligibility, which resulted in the rejection of tens of thousands of black lung claims. So what's the backstory here? What is Jenkins talking about in terms of Rahal's vote to reduce eligibility for black lung benefits?
Well, this dates way back to 1981, and the vote in question was on a bill primarily aimed at the financing of the program, shoring up the trust fund, which at the time was in the red. So this bill increased the excise tax on coal in order to do that. It actually doubled it. And there was also some tightening of the eligibility requirements for future beneficiaries. And that included some of this eligibility for survivors, which was, again, much later addressed by the Affordable Care Act. So when President Reagan signed the bill, he said a major purpose of this legislation is to restore solvency to the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund. It was a pretty popular piece of legislation passed with a bipartisan overwhelming majority vote in both the House and the Senate. In terms of coal country delegations in the Senate, all the senators from Kentucky, West Virginia, Wyoming, Pennsylvania voted yes. And in the House, all of those delegations but two of the Pennsylvania delegation voted yes as well. So it's a lot more complicated than Rahal voted to cut black lung benefits, as the ad says.
Black lung has always been a political football, and it is a crucial issue here. Black lung was supposed to be regulated out of existence, but it's reemerged in miners who are younger and haven't worked in the mines as long. A number of factors contribute to that, and new coal dust rules were put in place by the Mine Safety and Health Administration. But this claim, this Jenkins claim, true, false, or misleading?
We would call it misleading.
Why?
Well, there's a lot more to the story, and honestly, that's often the case with these claims about votes. It's easy to pick apart a bill and say somebody voted for, you know, one part of it, but overwhelmingly, or when you look at the big picture of it, the bill was primarily about the financing of the program. It was about more than, you know, cutting benefits.
Factcheck.org is a great website, lots of good reading and good information there. How do you and your colleagues approach your work?
Well, you know, our first step when we see a new ad that we want to address is to look at the support for the claim. And the campaigns will put out these documents that they either call support or backup that link to or cite what they're using as a backup for the claim. Beyond that, we're looking for primary sources, calling experts, and looking into the full story behind what an ad says. You know, it's really easy to put, you know, one sentence or two sentences in an ad, and there's a whole big story behind that that we need to go dig into and find.
Laurie Robertson, managing editor of the website factcheck.org. We appreciate your time. You must be pretty busy this season.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. Laurie Robertson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's coming up on 7:38. Partly cloudy skies today. There is a chance of rain. Temperatures in the 70s. Fog developing overnight with lows in the 50s. Mostly sunny on Tuesday. Highs in the 70s. Partly sunny on Wednesday. Temperatures in the 70s and low 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Wells Home Furnishings, designing rooms for the way you live. Details online at wellshome.com.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting has been hard at work creating a pilot interactive web video series called West Virginia STEAM, an acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. It's a collection of videos designed to inspire middle school kids and arm teachers and parents with tools to help students navigate possible career options in the state. Series producers Chuck Klein and Glennis Board joined Roxy Todd to talk about the project.
So for those who really have no idea what the STEAM initiative is, can you give an overview of the project? What is STEAM?
At West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we're taking STEM, which is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math, and adding arts to build STEAM in our communities and classrooms. And a lot of people are doing this. You know, we're not the only ones catching on to this idea. We think adding the arts is an important distinction, and you'll hear a lot of STEAM professionals talk about how important creativity and critical thinking are when they're coming up with outside-the-box solutions or innovations in their STEM fields.
That kind of thinking is really what an art education hopefully unlocks in the mind. So overall, STEAM is really just a more interdisciplinary approach to learning.
The idea for our STEAM initiative was largely the result of a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the state's Department of Education. We wanted to give our educators tools to help inspire kids to be excited about learning science and math, and to teach kids about the variety of jobs in the state where we really need to develop a trained workforce. So we developed a pilot interactive video series around a handful of professionals who are engaged in STEAM careers in West Virginia. A researcher, a nurse, a pipe fitter, a couple forensic scientists, and an artist.
Every object in the world, when something is manufactured, that all involves an artist being very involved with making it. So even if it's at the process of somebody designing it, or making it on a computer, or making a model, all those things involve the hand of an artist.
STEAM is a series of short, interactive videos, and the target audience is middle school students. Can you talk a little about the first time you shared these videos with students, and what was their reaction?
Sure, I would love to. And to be clear, we haven't released this to the public yet. We expect it to be public and ready for teachers and students by about the middle of October. But in the process of building this first set of videos, or what we hope will be the first set, we realized somewhere along the line that we really need to talk with our target audience and get their input and guidance. So with the help of our education consultant, Margaret Miller, we went into some schools and asked 6th and 8th grade classes for help. You know, their questions were great. The most common ones were, how much schooling does this require? What schools can I go to? How much money will I make? Are there travel opportunities, job security? These kids were so smart, especially as a group. Overall, they really just wanted more professions to choose from. You know, we're starting with just 5, but the kids wanted like 30. So before talking with them, we were really focusing on the lives of the professionals we were profiling, what inspired them, those kinds of things. And the kids really pointed out that we were missing some of the basic nuts and bolts, facts that are really easy to find out and list. So it really focused our efforts in serving that community.
I think one of the funner things was at the end of one kid did mention immediately, he was like, well, I want to be a pipe fitter. And to me, that's the goal. It's like we just encouraged a kid who probably didn't know what he wanted to do, saw the video of the pipe fitter, and said, well, that might be for me.
Why don't you talk a little about the pipe fitter video as a specific example?
Sure. We found this great subject, Matthew McGinnis. He's an apprentice at the Plumber and Pipe Fitter School in Morgantown. Really articulate, young, really smart guy from Fairmont. So we interviewed him about how he became interested in the trades and what his day-to-day is like, and we collected a lot of footage of various activities you would encounter on the job, welding, soldering, rigging 600-pound pipe to a crane, that sort of thing. And then we intercut those elements.
At the end of the day, when everybody's packing up to go home, I can turn and look over my shoulder and I can actually see what I have done. And I know that in the future, it's actually going to be utilized for something. It's going to perform some action that is going to benefit someone in some way. And that means a lot to me.
I think it's important to realize that these videos are not only for the kids. They're also for the teachers. So that has always been, that's been the trickiest part of doing these videos, is finding curriculum that fits within jobs that we find within West Virginia.
Exactly. So with each of these videos, we include details about how McGinnis, our pipe fitter apprentice, for example, is using things he started to learn in the middle school on the job. So practical applications of what kids are learning in school. And that's where the interactive part comes in.
Okay, well, today we are going to use the Pythagorean theorem to determine the length of a copper pipe that we need to go between two 45-degree angles to offset our pipe from one line to another, staying parallel.
But now this is where I need your help. I need you to take the square root of 45 and get the answer and let me know so I know how long to cut my pipe to finish my project.
We have a team of curriculum writers as well. So as we roll through these careers, these various job careers, we pass it along to our curriculum writers who write full curriculum for the classroom after the video is watched.
Mm-hmm. You know, we really think the STEAM Interactive Web Series is something our organization is uniquely positioned to provide for kids in West Virginia. We're really excited about this opportunity.
Glynis and Chuck, thank you.
It's been our pleasure, Roxy.
Again, that was series producers Glynis Board and Chuck Klein speaking with Roxy Todd about a new series of online interactive videos called West Virginia STEAM. And you can check out the videos for yourself at wvpublic.org. An event in Southern West Virginia was designed to give students a sense of place and pride. Athens Elementary hosted Appalachian Heritage Day on Friday. Jessica Lilly spoke with some fourth graders to get their reaction.
Students at Athens Elementary traveled across the school to visit different segments of the third annual Appalachian Heritage Day. Fourth grader Sarah Reedy breaks it down nicely for us.
He's been going around and learning how to square dance, learning about quilts, and being read stories and stuff, and learning how to use washboards, and the girls got to make these really cool dolls.
The boys played with marbles, and the girls made rag dolls from a single piece of cloth and yarn.
We got fabric, and we would make their arms out of little short pieces, and we'd get their long pieces, and we got two short pieces of yarn, and we tied it around where their neck would be to make their head, and we tied it around their waist so that the arms could stay up, and it's really cool.
Storytellers told stories of the first settlers in Mercer County, and kids like Bethany Phipps learned the term scalp.
It makes me feel happy because I know I'm in a safe place now instead of fighting Indians.
Several of the kids were eager to share what they had learned during the Heritage Day, like Casey Hazelwood.
It makes me feel special because they all did that in West Virginia, so... And I live in West Virginia.
Olivia Lucas.
It was different because today it was really easy to wash clothes, but back then they had to go to the creek, get their water, and they had to wash clothes and stuff like that. Use washboards.
Kaya Hall.
Well, you still have the cabins, and sometimes people wash his clothes like that.
Caitlin Brinkley.
Well, the washer and dryer does it for you today, and back then you had to go to the creek, get your water, and go back, and build a fire.
And Jaden Doty.
Today we don't, like, sew, and we don't, like, use washing boards. We use washing and dryers. We have, like, beat boxes instead of square dancing. Yeah, some people still sew, but usually people use, like, a sewing machine or they just buy blankets at a store.
Square dancing was a popular session. This time, it was the fourth graders that made two lines in the gymnasium. Boys on one side, girls on the other. One pair at a time, they meet in the middle to hold hands and trot down the gym. Education majors from Concord University are the teachers. Chelsea Francis.
I get to see the joy on the kids' faces when they light up whenever they get to do something like this. And they're learning about West Virginia, so it's a win-win situation.
And Jessica Simmons.
Getting in there a little bit more with the kids, getting the feel for, you know, how to walk into a class and just be able to handle it right off the bat.
Simmons says this dance lesson wasn't just for the kids.
Neither one of us are incredibly great dancers, so we thought it would be fun to learn together and then teach the kids and essentially lead in teaching them through our own mistakes. So we know what to tell to be careful with because, you know, we've stepped on each other's feet or hit walls or anything else. So
Simmons hopes the event gives the youngsters a sense of pride in their hometown.
I think it's incredibly important because, you know, when you hear about West Virginia in the news, if you ever do, it's not always positive. So the kids from the media get a lot of negative feedback, and they need to learn the positive things about the place that they come from and go out and be proud of who they are, where they came from, and to continue to make West Virginia a better place.
And that's the vision for organizer Angie Wilson, also the Title I reading teacher at the school.
We want the students to realize where they came from. You know, and a lot of these things are forgotten art, like quilting. You know, a lot of people don't quilt now, and possibly make some of the kids want to, you know, to spark an interest in them and make them want to do some of those things on their own.
Other presentations included home remedies, historical monologues, and more. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Clark Davis. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.